This is Pastor Ron Franklin at Covenant Community Church, and you're listening to Covenant Living Today.
How many of us right here and right now have a good attitude? Good attitude right now. Amen. I hope you do. I hope you're not looking at me saying I got a bad attitude today. Amen. See, when we're sitting here in the church praising the Lord, got brothers and sisters in Christ around about us who love us, it's easy to have a good attitude, isn't it? Amen. But then you got to go to work tomorrow. Amen. You got to go face that person that you don't like and they don't like you. See, it's, the test is not your attitude while you're here. When's the test? When you're under pressure.
Yes.
When you're under pressure. The test of a good attitude is when you're under pressure. And what God is asking of us is that we enter into every situation, every circumstance, with the kind of attitude where we can do all things without complaining and disputing. How many of us would have to say, and don't raise your hand, but there have been some times in the last few weeks when you had a bad attitude. Bad attitude. Things weren't going the way you wanted them to go, and life wasn't treating you the way you thought you ought to be treated, and you just had a rotten attitude, and everybody could see it. When I was in college, I worked at the supermarket. And I would be there on the cash register, you know, checking the groceries, and people would be coming through all day. And you know what had the biggest impact on the kind of day I would have? It would be the attitude of the people. I mean, all it took was one person with a bad attitude to mess my whole day up. If we want to be that mature Christian who shows off and demonstrates the glory of God, then I've got to learn to control my attitude even under pressure. Control my attitude. Now that's tough, isn't it? See, because most of us really feel like we don't control our attitudes. Our attitudes control us. Something bad happens. And so we just naturally get a disgusted attitude. Somebody says something to us or does something that we don't like. And we just naturally get an offended attitude. Something that seems dangerous or threatening happens. We get a fearful attitude. Or don't let us do something that we think is good. What do we get? Prideful attitude. Amen. You see, all of these things are going on. Things are happening in our lives. We react to them emotionally, and we just let, most of the time, whatever attitude seems to come out of that situation, that's the attitude we have. And yet what God is telling us is that we do not need to let our attitudes control us. We as believers, as maturing Christians, have the power and the responsibility to take charge of our own attitudes. Go over to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, 5. The New King James Version says in Philippians 2, 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." But here's one of the times when I like the NIV translation of that verse. It says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Now, what's that telling us? Why would God tell us what our attitude should be unless we had the ability to control our attitude? When I was in college, I went to the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, and my home was in Chattanooga. And so, you know, every once in a while I would drive back down home, and one time I did that, and it was late at night when I got in town. And I think I was sleepy and everything, and, you know, just not quite totally on top of it. And I came up to a red light. I put my foot on the brake to stop, and my foot actually slipped off the brake, and I drifted through that intersection. And it just so happened that on this side street, there was a car with a Southern policeman. I'm about to say cop, but I want to be respectful. A Southern police officer. And this was like back in the 60s or 70s. And you know what he did? He stopped me. He asked for my license. He gave me a ticket. And it wasn't even my fault. My foot slipped. But do you think I got in this man's face? I have to tell you, I was going, yes, sir. No, sir. Why? Because I knew that my safety and security depended on my attitude. Amen? I mean, when it's 2:30 in the morning and you're by yourself and you got a cop on your... I mean, some of our kids need to learn this. You don't be mouthing off. Amen? So guess what I did? I controlled my attitude. Whatever I felt, my attitude was a good attitude. Why? Because I knew that my future depended on that. And even though he gave me the ticket, I don't think I said, well, thank you, sir. But anyway, the attitude was still good. See, the bottom line is this. When it matters, when we know it's important, we can control our attitude. Somebody comes up and says something to us that we think they shouldn't have said. Before we take an attitude with that person, you know what we do? We evaluate the consequences. If it's a coworker, you might get on their case right quick. If it's your boss, you take a step back or two and think about it before you say what you're going to say. Amen? Why? You control your attitude. And that's what God is telling us. Go over to Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse 17. Proverbs 14:17. Look at this. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly. What's God telling us? He has chosen to act in a foolish way. When you are quick to lose your temper, quick to take an attitude, you are choosing to act in a foolish way. You have the choice. Let's look at an example from Scripture. Acts chapter 16, starting with verse 22. Paul and Silas had been ministering in the city of Philippi. And Paul cast a demon out of a slave girl. This girl had been giving out prophecies, and her owners had been making money by the prophecies she was giving. And once Paul had cast out the demon, she was no good for prophesying anymore. And the owner got mad, called the magistrates, and threw Paul and Silas to the magistrates. Look at what happened in Acts 16, starting with verse 22. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosened. Catch the situation. Paul and Silas thrown into jail unjustly, treated unjustly. Paul was a Roman citizen. He wasn't supposed to be beaten, but they had beaten him. And yet there they were at midnight in chains, in jail, their backs hurting from the beating that they'd taken. And what were they doing? They could have been moaning, groaning, and complaining. Be honest. How many of us, if we were thrown into jail for something we didn't do, it was totally unfair, and they not only threw us in jail, but they took us to this little room before they threw us in jail and beat us up? How many of us in that situation would have been singing hymns and praying at midnight? or versus how many of us would have been, did any of you used to curse? How many of you think you would revert? Amen. You see, Paul and Silas chose their attitude. They could have been angry, upset, complaining, talking about what I'm going to do. I'm a Roman citizen. You just wait till I got out of here. Instead, what were they doing? They decided, let's give praise to God. Let's depend on God. Let's change our attitude. You see, the circumstances do not determine what your attitude will be. You are the one who make that choice. If you go off every time somebody looks at you wrong, that's on you. If you get upset and frustrated and angry whenever things don't go your way, that's not the circumstance, that's on you. You chose that attitude. If you are always moaning, groaning, and complaining about the way people treat you, the problem is not the way people treat you. The problem is the attitude that you have chosen to take. Well, if God says we can control our attitude so that He gets the glory, how do we do it? Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verses 22 through 24. Here's a spiritual principle that works in many ways, and especially in this way of controlling our attitude. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There is a spiritual principle, the putting off and the putting on principle. In other words, if we want to put off something in our lives, the way that we have to do that is by putting on something to replace it. You can't just stop doing something that you shouldn't be doing. You need to replace that bad behavior with good behavior. Yesterday, I was talking with a man who told me about in his backyard, he went to some trees in his backyard, and he pushed aside a branch, and it just so happened that there was a hornet's nest or a wasp nest right there. And he says those wasps just came and boom, right in his face. And before he could do anything, he had been stung. He was running back and, you know, got his wife to put salve on his face and all of that. I mean, those wasps got him. Now think about this for a moment. You had a hard day at work. Your coworker got on your nerves, and you've been thinking about it all day. You know, they shouldn't have said what they said, and they don't do their work right, and they put it off on me. You've just been thinking about it all day. You go home, you push back a branch or a tree, and wasps come out and start stinging you in the face. Now, how many of you think you'd still be thinking about the bad day you had at work when those wasps hit you? Amen. I don't care how bad your day was. It's worse. Amen. And so, in other words, that old situation that was taking up all of your thoughts got pushed out by the new situation, and now the only thing you're thinking about is, how do I get away from the wasps? You don't have to try to stop thinking about this coworker and what they said and what they did. You don't have to even worry about it, because what? You got something new to think about. Amen? In the same way, if you want to change your attitude, don't just say, well, I'm going to stop having a bad attitude. You ever tried that? I'm just going to stop having a bad attitude. Guess what? It'll take about 2 days for that to wear off. Amen? You need to replace the bad attitude by a godly attitude. Let's find out what the godly attitude is. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. God tells us that we can put off the old, put on the new, push out the bad, and replace it with the good. Well, what's he talking about? 1 Thessalonians, starting with verse 16. Excuse me. Chapter 5, starting with verse 16. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Verse 18 again. In how much? In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. When the situation is good, what are we supposed to do? Give thanks. Amen. Any of you had occasion to thank God this week for something he's done in your life? Amen. Amen. Now, was what you thanked him for good? Was it good? Were you saying, God, thank you. This is, you've done such good things in my life. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you thanked him. All right. Now, let's take step number two. How many of you had a challenge in your life this past week? Something negative, a problem, something that you did not enjoy happened in your life. How many of you had something like that? Amen. In the midst of that circumstance, how many of us gave thanks to God? Uh-huh. Amen. Now, let's look at this verse again. Maybe I misread it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything that's good, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You see that in your Bible? In everything that's good, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many of you see that in your Bible? What did it say? In everything. Now, I am a scholar of the Greek. And, you know, I took Greek in seminary, and I did very well, made good grades, and therefore I can tell you that in the Greek, the word everything means everything. Amen. Everything. In every circumstance, in every situation, no matter whether we think is negative, think is positive, think is good, think is bad, whether it's something that puts pressure on us, whether we like it or don't like it, in every circumstance, every situation, what we are called on to do is to be a giver of thanks to God. Go over to James chapter 1. Passage that you know very well. Starting with verse 2, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The word says that whatever the circumstance is, even if it's a trial, even if it's a situation we don't like, that's painful to us, that's frustrating to us, whatever the circumstance, we can make the decision, make the choice to count it all joy and give thanks to God in the midst of that circumstance. The Honda I had before this one, when it was reaching the end of its life, I'd come out on a cold January day to go to work, put the key in the ignition and turn the thing, and it would go and then just sit there. And that would happen over and over and over again. And what was so bad about it was that when I would take it in to get them to look at it, it would be warmed up by that time, and they'd tell me there's nothing wrong with it. It turns right over. Zoom. But as soon as it got cold, there I'd sit. Now think about this for a moment. It's cold. I just got up. I'm still tired. Got to be to work. I get out to my car with just enough time to make it to work on time. Turn the key and nothing happens. Now, right then, I've got a choice to make, don't I? I can either be frustrated and angry and upset. How many of your cars have dents in them where you hit them because you were so angry? I can either be frustrated, angry, or upset, or what? I can stop and give thanks to the Lord. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. thank you for this car and all of the good services given me up till now. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me the ability to even have a car. Thank you, Father, that even now, sitting here in a car that won't run, I know that you still have my future in your hand, and somehow you'll get me to work on time, or if I don't need to be to work today, you'll arrange it so that it's okay. I thank you, Lord, you've got the situation under control. See, even in the midst of that circumstance, I've got a choice on what attitude I'm going to take. And catch this. You know what the test of your Christian witness is? It's not all of those days when you get up, put your key in the car, it turns right over, you go to work, and you have a wonderful day at work. It's the day when it didn't turn over, you got to work late after you called AAA, it took them an hour and a half to get there, and you had all kinds of hassles to get to work on time. You walk in, your boss gets on your case because you're late, and then you sit down at your desk and your coworkers are looking at you. That's when the test comes. What kind of attitude are you going to have? Catch this. If you responded by giving praise and thanks to God, even while you were sitting there in the car that wouldn't start, when you get to work, you'll have a godly attitude. Amen? You see, the attitude starts back when in the car. The attitude starts back in the situation. You can't allow a frustrated, angry, upset attitude and then go to work and expect when you see somebody to suddenly go, how are you? Oh, you can try it. You can put that smile on your face. But guess what? 2 minutes later, the real attitude will start coming through. And you will not give glory to God by your attitude. God says you can change your attitude. You can replace that negative attitude by the positive attitude by giving thanks to God. Our whole lives ought to be based on thanksgiving. Look at Psalm chapter 35, verse 18. Look at this. I will give you thanks in the great assembly. I will praise you among many people. You see, when we talk to people about what's going on in our lives, it ought to be in a spirit of thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:4, let me just share it with you. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. That's what our conversation should be about. When people listen to us over a period of time, their impression about the things we talk about and the way we talk should not be how much we complain, how much negative we have to say about what's happening in our lives and what's going on in the circumstance and what they're doing to me and how they're not treating me right. Their impression of my conversation ought to be, you know, he's all the time giving thanks to God. All the time giving thanks to God. Get up in the morning. God, thank you for such a beautiful day. It's pouring down outside. Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day. Hallelujah. Get to work. And the boss gives you more than you ever thought you were supposed to have. Oh, Lord, thank you for this job. I'm just so glad. And Lord, thank you for my boss. I know that he is somebody who really wants to do this job well. And I just want to give you praise. How many of you have thanked the Lord for your boss lately? Amen. We got something to work for. Amen. See, I have the choice, whatever the circumstance, of what my attitude will be, and my conversation, what I say, needs to reflect that. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Here's the bottom line. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, in word, what you say, or deed, what you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. How many of you do housework? You sweep the floor, mop the floor, all that kind of good stuff. Clean the bathroom. How many of you enjoy cleaning bathrooms? Amen. Let me give you my address. Amen. Now, for most of us who don't enjoy cleaning bathrooms, guess what? We can still give thanks. Amen. You're in there, you're scrubbing the tub, down on your knees. That cleanser, or you don't even like the smell of it. Amen. Guess what? You can be thank you, Father, for having a bathtub. Amen. Amen. I mean, probably some of you can remember when you didn't. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for having a bathtub. And not to mention an indoor toilet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Giving thanks in the midst of the circumstance. You're sweeping the floor. Lord, praise you, Father. Oh, Lord, I'm getting a little bit of exercise. I didn't get enough exercise today. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of sweeping the floor. You see, we choose our attitude, and the Lord says, you do that by giving thanks in every circumstance, no matter what you're doing. Let me give you a secret. If you will start your day in a spirit of thanksgiving, it'll take you through the day.
Amen.
Amen. If when you get up in the morning and you spend a little time in prayer and in the Word with the Lord, you start off in that spirit of thanksgiving. Everything you see, everything that's happening, you look out the door and you see what the weather is, you give God thanks for it. You look at that alarm clock that you wish you could take a baseball bat to, and you give God thanks for having a job to get up and go to. Amen. You see, if you start your day with thanksgiving, the devil will come after you. He will try to take the joy out of your life. Amen. He'll try to steal it from you. But if you'll start your day with thanksgiving, it'll take you through the day with the kind of attitude that will bring glory to God. Here's our bonus. When we do that, go over to Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. When we do that, when we commit ourselves to having a godly attitude by giving thanks in every situation, here's the bonus that we reap. Proverbs 17, 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. You want to have a merry heart? You want to have the kind of spirit, the kind of attitude that does you good like a medicine? Just start giving thanks to God. Amen? Whatever the circumstance, give thanks to God. You know how I learned to do that? When I would hit my thumb with a hammer while driving a nail. Now, you know what I learned to do? To have the first words out of my mouth be, "Oh, Lord, thank you." Amen. Hallelujah. I give you praise. Lord, the thumb is not broken. Thank you. Hallelujah. It hurts, but thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the pain receptors are still there. Whatever the situation, we can learn to give thanks to God and change that nasty attitude to one that gives glory to His name.